Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Then the feast of dedication came at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking through Solomon's colonnade. The Jews came and surrounded him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can pluck them out of his hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. 6 weeks of Easter, and I need every bit of it. And by the way, happy Mother's Day to mothers and grandmothers and so on here too as well. Folks, I don't mind telling you that this last week here has been a long one for Pastor and me. We both talked about that today. We've spent a lot of time with bereaved families and with people that are dying. And it was just one of those weeks that pastors don't much enjoy. And yet we have the opportunity to bring God's word to those places. So I was really happy to see that the epistle lesson for today was out of Revelation chapter 7. Because I will tell you straight up, I think it's one of the finest chapters in the entire Bible. And it is one that I always love to hear. We read it at almost every funeral we do. Because it is filled with hope and it is filled with promise. It's sort of like a stairway. It builds on itself. There are eight promises in there that each one builds to something better and something higher. And I was happy to see that it was there because that's what we're going to take a look at today. So it starts out that John has this beautiful vision of what heaven is like. And what he sees is this vast multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing in front of the throne, wearing white robes, and holding palm branches in their hands. Well, right away, that gives us an indication that these people in white robes, these are the saints. And the palm branches give us an indication of victory. Yeah, they cut down palm branches when they had a victory. They would wave them. And so you get this picture that these are people standing in front of the throne of God, and they are whole, and they are well, and they are victorious. So then the elder says to John, these in white robes, who are they? Where do they come from? John wisely says, well, sir, I'm pretty sure you know. And then he starts out and he tells us what heaven is going to entail. He tells us important things about heaven. Now, it's Mother's Day, right? So there was a mother traveling by air with her 5-year-old son. It was his first trip, and he didn't like any of it. He didn't like having to sit in a seat. He didn't like having to wear a seatbelt. He didn't like being in the plane. He wanted to get out. He wanted to go to the bathroom. And he was fussing and carrying on to the point where all the people sitting around him were starting to feel like they were in the Great Tribulation. All at once, out of the first class section came an Air Force 3-star general. Got a whole fruit salad on his chest, right? He's got his hat tucked under his arm. He walks up to the little boy. He leans over the little boy and he whispers something. Then he points to his ribbons and his medals, you know. And then he leans back in and he says something to the boy. Nobody else can hear it. And all of a sudden the little boy's eyes get big. And he nods his head like this and he goes like this. And that little boy sat quiet through the rest of the plane flight. The general went back up and sat down in his seat. So one of the stewardesses couldn't help herself. She wondered, what was his secret? And so before they got into their descent into the next destination, she said, sir, I couldn't help but notice how you handled that little fella up there. And I'm just curious, what's your secret? What did you say to quiet him down? He said, well, he said, I just walked up and quietly pointed out that I had all these medals and ribbons. And then I said, I'm the general. I give orders. And if people don't obey my orders, I have the right to throw one person off an airplane every flight. He said, now I'm giving you an order. Sit quiet and obey your mom. You gonna do it? You want to be thrown out the plane? Sat quiet. Keep that in mind. It could be a useful tool sometime, huh? The Great Tribulation. That's the first stop here. He says, who are these people? They are the ones who have come out of the Great Tribulation. Now, theologians, they like to argue about this, especially those that are sort of the millennial bent. They see the Great Tribulation as a seven-year period of tribulation before Jesus comes back and reigns on earth for 1,000 years. I don't subscribe to that. I think the easiest reading and the most straightforward one is that these are the people who have come out of life in this world. Now, if you've not had any tribulation in your life yet, wait, because it'll come. But most of us know what we're talking about. It's the grief that we have, the mourning that we have to do, it's the pain that we experience, it's the ailments and the injuries and the diseases and the news and everything else that steals the joy from us in this life. This life is a tribulation. And yeah, there's great things in it, certainly. We all acknowledge that. But we also acknowledge that there's a lot of tribulation too. But notice what's said here. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've come out of it. That means that when you and I leave this world and we go to where the Lord is, tribulation is a thing of the past. It's an obsolete word. The things that trouble us here are not going to be factors there. Those things will be left behind. And we come out of it. We come out of it because Jesus lives. Because he came alive out of that Easter morning, you and I have this absolute promise, this indication that someday when our tribulation here is done, we've got a new place waiting for us where tribulation is unknown. Second thing, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That one who was crucified on that Friday, we call it good. Wasn't anything good about it for him. We call it good because it was good for us. It's the blood of the Lamb that covers us. That's why those people are all wearing white robes. Did they wash them? Well, not really. The washing was done by the blood of the Lamb that covers us, that took the sin of the world away, takes our sin away. And that means that someday we will be there before the Lord. And they've washed their robes. And it's the blood of the Lamb that makes them whole. It's the very reason that we celebrate Good Friday. Because the price for our salvation was paid and paid in full right there at that cross. Now, therefore, they are before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in his temple. How come they can stand before the throne of God? That means that they get to see God as he is. Now, you can read through the scriptures every time somebody has an encounter with God or even an angel. What do? They fall on their faces. They put their faces to the ground. Because there's always this sense that the unholy in the presence of the holy cannot stand. But these people, they're seeing God as he is. They stand before the throne and there's no fear in it at all. Having been cleansed of our sins, we stand before our Heavenly Father without any fear, without the sense of judgment, without the dread that somehow God's going to find us wanting. It's because Jesus gave us that by covering our sin with his blood. And now having risen, we have this promise. We're going to stand before the throne of God. And notice, they serve him with joy. Not out of have to. Because when we're there, God's will is going to be our will. And we'll do things in the way God would want them done. Then comes this. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Oh, folks, that is a marvelous promise. Do you know back in those days, if you got lost out, let's say you went out in the desert looking for mushrooms. You're not very smart because there are no mushrooms in the desert. But you went out mushroom picking and you can't find your way back to your donkey. And you start wandering around out there. And just before sunset, you stumble into the camp, got the tent set up, you stumble into their camp, and these Bedouins take one look at you, and they take pity on you. And they pull back the flap of their tent, and they invite you under their tent. Folks, when they did that, they were making you a part of their family. That when they ate, you ate. What they drank, you drank. And if your enemy showed up the next morning and demanded to have you, they were duty-bound to fight to the death to protect you because once you went under their tent, you were part of the family. So what's God telling you? What's he telling you here? Yeah, we're part of the family. The one who sits on the throne, God Almighty, is going to spread his tent over us, and that means we're part of the family. We're under his protection. We're under his providence. We're under his love forever. And so these people, they're invited in, and then what? Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. You don't have to sit in late service with your stomach growling thinking, how soon will we get done with this so we can get lunch? You'll never be without anything. Eating and drinking, those are things that we have to do on a fairly regular basis. Those are physical things. But what we're being told here is that when we're in heaven, our physical needs will be taken care of. Nothing to worry about. I've got grandkids, and my grandkids know three things without any doubt. Three things are true. When they come to Grandpa's house, number one, there's always candy in the candy jar. They know that. Number two, there's always yogurt in the refrigerator. And number three, there's always fruit chews in the pantry. Those three things they can count on. Grandpa takes care of them. Now, if they go to Grandma, they know not to go to Grandma because Grandma might say, no, you had something. But if they come to Grandpa, they get whatever they want. Yep. See, when you're under the Father's tent, you will not have to worry about anything being taken care of. It'll all be there, and it'll all be perfect, and it'll all be great. That's our promise. He has already taken care of our biggest need, and the rest of them, that's small fish altogether. Then there's this one. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Folks, people that live in the Middle East know about heat, right? Here we know about heat and humidity. There they know about heat. Out in the desert, noonday sun, the temperature on the ground can get up to 150 degrees. You can't wear tennis shoes in the desert at noontime. Your shoes will melt. That's heat. And for them, when they heard this, when they read this, when they heard that there would be no scorching heat, it's a promise that there's cool days ahead. There's no threat of hellfire. And not only that, our light in heaven is not going to come from the sun. Our light is going to come from the Lord himself. And it'll be the light of life. And you'll live alive. And those things that plague us here, not a factor there anymore. We'll live in his light. And then comes this. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. I don't know about you, but I like cold, clear water. My grandpa Mosner had an old-fashioned pump out in front of the back door. And we kids swore that that was the best water in the state of Michigan. And when we'd go over, the first thing we'd do, one of us would start cranking that pump. The other one would grab, you always had a little aluminum pot there, and you'd take that out, and the water would come out, and it was cold, and it was crisp, and it was just marvelous. I'm going to stop by there one day. Somebody else bought the place. I don't know if their pump's still there. If it is, I'm going to go and have some water. I was watching National Geo last week, and they were talking about, it was called Hostile Planet, and they were talking about deserts. And they had this one scene where they were following a couple animals. And those poor things, I mean, every place you looked, it was brown. There wasn't a green thing to be seen. What was there was already cooked and baked by the sun. And this animal, I think it was an ibex of some kind, was coming down off this rock cliff face. And you wonder, where's this animal going? And all of a sudden, you come around this corner, and here there was water gushing out of the rock face. And there was this whole oasis of greenery and this pool of water that animal drank from. Out there in the middle of the desert, here was this green spot because it was living water. And it says here that our shepherd, the one who sits in the center of the throne, notice where he's sitting, in the center of the throne, that's where the Father's place is, and where the Father is, the Son is, and where the Son is, the Holy Spirit is. This is our God who leads us to springs of living water. It's life. Life. We live this world. We enjoy life. And for God, life is his greatest invention. But we're limited how much life we have here. Not in heaven. It doesn't end. It's never taken away. Life will be ours and ours to the full. And now comes the best promise in the whole scripture. Right here it is. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Kleenex makers go broke in heaven. No more tears. No more tears. All the things that make us cry here, our losses, our pain. For some of us today, we think of mothers that have already gone and are sainted. And for others, we have some who, every time you look at mom, she's getting older. And you know that day's coming. We have sorrows, and we have to mourn. But not in heaven. Not going to be a factor anymore. No more tears there. We don't need them. They're a thing of the past. Because what we have in heaven is joy and life. And it's full and it's great. And this is what he's given us. No more tears. A man was in a grocery store and he went into the cookie aisle. And there was a young mother. She had a 3-year-old daughter sitting on the cart. And she was telling mom all the cookies she wanted. And mom was saying, no, no, we've got cookies at home. We don't need them. And that little girl started making a big fuss, you know. I want them, you know. And he heard the mom in a very gentle voice say, now, Ellen, we only got a couple more aisles to go. And then we'll go home and everything will be all right. So he runs into her again in the candy aisle. And again, that 3-year-old, everything she sees, she wants. And mom is saying no, no, and no to it. And that little girl's fussing and crying and carrying on. And once again, he hears her in a soft, gentle voice say, Ellen, we're almost done. We just got to check out yet. And then we'll go home. So he gets to the checkouts, and there's the mother again. And you guys know what they have at the checkouts, right? They got all the stuff that little kids want. Not only do they have gum and candy, they often have some little toys and doodads. And, well, once again, that little girl's fussing. She wants everything she sees. Mom is saying no, so the little girl's crying and fussing and carrying on. And people at the other registers are looking at the mother out of the corner of her eye, you know. And once again, the man hears her in a soft, gentle voice say, Ellen, we're almost done. We'll be home in a few minutes. And then you can take a nice nap. So they get out in the parking lot and he sees this mother putting the stuff into the car. And so he wants to compliment her because of the way she handled the situation. So he came over next to her and he said, ma'am, I couldn't help but overhear how you handled your little daughter, Ellen. And I just wanted to compliment you on your patience with her. And the woman looked up at him and she said, what do you mean, my daughter, Ellen? Her name is Tammy. My name is Ellen. Moms, have you had a day like that? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. We feel sorry for ourselves sometimes in this life. And we have a right to. There are good things, but there are a lot of troubles. A lot of things that hurt us. But the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, when he came out of that tomb, it wasn't just about his resurrection, folks. That was about our resurrection, too. In his life, we have life. That was his promise. And that means that someday what was described here by John in an imperfect way, because he didn't have words to describe everything he saw, you and I are going to see in the fullest. And we're going to see it not only by ourselves, but we're going to see it with all the people that have gone before us and those that follow us, the people that love us. And that's his promise. We will have no more tears because we will only have joy, life, and life to the fullest. That's what he's promised us in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Father, in Jesus we have our refuge and our promise. And in spite of our worldly tribulations, we have been washed from our sins in the blood of the Lamb on the cross. Our resurrection is certain, and will bring us directly to your throne, where we will finally know you face to face without anything in between. There will be nothing but joy. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more want. Nothing threatens us. We are made whole and lack nothing in your presence. Build within us a hope that is steadfast and fixed on this promise. Bless us with a faith that trusts in our Savior so fully that it is so obvious and strong that others may be drawn to share in that same treasure. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. And Heavenly Father, as we gather this day, we give thanks for our moms. We thank you for all that they provided for us, for their love and attention to us. We thank you, Lord, for all that the legacies they leave us, and for all that they leave with us throughout our days. We just ask you, Lord, that you would bless all our moms. Bless the single moms who struggle to make ends meet, to take care of their kids. Bless those grandmothers who are amongst us, who don't see their kids as often as they like, but love on them nonetheless when they can. And we ask you to be with our moms who have wanted children but could not have any, that they, even though they have not had any, have had mothers' hearts and have loved others. We thank you for all the moms and mothers' hearts that have been amongst us, that have blessed our children, that have blessed us. And we ask you, Lord, to bless them. Give them strength. Give them promise. Fill them with your presence. And we pray, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up all for whom we pray now, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.